pray Paul's prayer to Ephesians because I believe it should connect us even more to who he is. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width the length, the depth, and the height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Romans chapter 12. The last couple of weeks, we spent on verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 especially being very critical. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think if Paul ended the chapter or ended this part right there, it would be enough said. Because I believe the challenge for the church, for this church, for each individual in this church, is to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we can do that, we will have done a lot. We will have accomplished a lot. And so that's the challenge for us. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can know what God's will is. His perfect and acceptable will. And so in verse 3, Paul begins to another challenge, which is to serve God with your gifts, your spiritual gifts. Verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Paul says, "I say through the grace given to me." Paul's saying, "I've been given grace. And that's how I'm speaking to you, through the grace that's been given to me." Grace, what is grace? Well, the Greek is charis, which literally means joy or to rejoice. It means unmerited favor. It means undeserved blessing. It means a free gift. Paul is speaking from a place of grace. And yet, he brings it strong as he continues. He says, "I say to you through the grace given to me, not to think of himself, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to." Why did Paul say that? Why did Paul say that? I believe he said that because humanity, all of humanity, struggles with pride. And oftentimes, even in spiritual ways, we can think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We can become spiritually arrogant. He says, do not think more highly of yourselves. Proverbs 25:7 says, or 25:27 says, to seek one's own glory is not glory. Think about that. To seek one's own glory is not glory. And I believe that's why Paul is giving us this warning, is because oftentimes we seek our own glory. We seek our own glory. Well, how so? Pastor, what do you mean? Well, we want to take credit oftentimes for things that God does, for one thing. Or sometimes we want to take credit for our own abilities and our own giftedness and what we do or accomplish on our own. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how talented, how gifted, how successful you are. It's only because of the grace of God that you are. Amen. Amen. It's only because of the grace of God. And so Paul says, don't think more highly of yourselves. To seek one's own glory is not glory. But he says two things. He says, he tells us not how not to think, and then he tells us how to think. To everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Think of yourself in a sober way. That means objectively. It means reasonably. It means think of yourself seriously, sober-minded. Think of yourself in a sound mind, not in some kind of fantasy way of thinking. It means soberly means restrained or disciplined. It's a restrained or disciplined behavior or attitude. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now think about that. He's saying, if someone is overtaken in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. And what he's saying is, not in a way of judgmental or condemnation, but restoration. Restoration means kindness. Restoration means grace. And so he says, in a way of spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. In other words, you're trying to help somebody else with their sin. Don't be arrogant. Don't think so highly of yourself that it can't happen to you. That's what he's saying. You know, it's interesting how pride works sometimes. And when we get prideful and we're even in a spiritual way and we think we've got it going on with God, an enemy lays a little trap, a little booby trap. And as soon as we get thinking too highly of ourselves, guess what? We step right in it. And we get humbled. We get humbled. And that's why Paul's warning here about this. He says in verse 2 of Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what the law of Christ is he's referring to there? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. When Paul says, when he says here, restore in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Think of yourself when he says in Romans, soberly, sober-minded. Basically, what he's saying, the bottom line is, be humble and see yourself as God does. In he goes on in Galatians here, for if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Pride. But let each one examine his own work, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Be humble. And verse 5 there, for each one shall bear his own load. That's a message to the church. If you're sitting here today and you're born again Christian, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to the Lord and you have a responsibility to His church. You have a responsibility to others. He says, for each one shall bear his own load. You have a responsibility to do your part. Paul will get back to that in Romans 12 in just a minute. This is a place where the church needs to grow. This church. Heart Cry Chapel needs to grow in this way. Each one bear his own load. You see, if each one is taking responsibility for him or herself, and each he or she is doing their part in the body of Christ, in serving the Lord and in serving His bride, the church, and everyone's doing that, what a difference it would make. What a difference it would make. What an impact the church would have. We need work here. We need to grow in this area. Ephesians, this won't be on the screen, but Ephesians 4, and he's talking about equipping the saints and for the work of the ministry. And he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. In a nutshell, church, grow up. Grow up. Grow up spiritually. This is what this is about. This is what Paul's talking about. Grow up. Each one bear his own load. Don't sit back and say, well, somebody else will do it. Somebody else has got that. Each one, he says, each one shall bear his own load. Each one has a responsibility. Each one. And so, in Romans 12, Paul goes on to say, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What does that mean? In the context there, he's speaking of gifts. Gifts. The measure of faith there is in the context of gifts. He's given each believer a gift or gifts. You may have more than one gift. Measure of faith. He's not talking about saving faith here. He means active growing faith that exercises the gifts of God that's been given to each person. Measure of faith is synonymous with a spiritual gift. And Paul will address a few of those in just a minute. But what does that mean? Ephesians 4:7 says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. according to the measure of Christ's gift. So when Paul says each one, a measure of faith, each one, each believer has been given a gift to use. To use for what? Not for their own gain, not for their own glory. Remember Proverbs? One who seeks his own glory is not glory. Paul says, to each one a measure of faith, a measure of faith. Each one a gift. That's right. It's for his glory. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Each member of the body of Christ, and he's speaking of believers, every believer has a function in the body of Christ. Everyone. Now, as Paul says, many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. Everyone doesn't have the same function. Everyone's not a teacher. Everyone's not a preacher. Everyone's not an elder. But everyone has a function. Every person, if you're a believer sitting here, you have a gift that God's given you, and you have a function to do, to use it. Use it, why? For what? To build up the body of Christ, to edify the name of Jesus, and to bring glory to God. One, two, three. That's it. That's it. Everyone has a function. You might say, well, I don't have anything to do here. Well, I can tell you one thing that everybody can do, and that's pray. Amen. Well, unfortunately, it's probably the weakest part of the church. But anybody and everyone can pray. You can pray for one another. You can pray for God's glory to be manifested in the church. There's something that each one has. Everyone has been given something. Everyone has been given a gift, and they're not all the same. But you know where we run amok sometimes? Somebody sees a gift that somebody else has, and they say, that's what I want. Sorry. He didn't gift you that way. He gives gifts as he decides, as he discerns, as he desires to give. What for? For a common purpose. To build up the body of Christ and to edify Jesus Christ and to bring glory to himself. Amen. And so if you see a gift that somebody else is like, somebody said, well, I'd like to get up there and preach like the pastor does. Well, if he gifts you that way, he'll make it happen. But if he hasn't gifted you that way, it's not going to happen, or it shouldn't happen. Because you see, when we try to operate outside our gifts, and that even goes for me, when I try to operate outside my giftedness, it doesn't work. Self, that's trying to satisfy self's desire. Pride. You see, every person here has been given a gift somehow, in some way. And the question is, are you using your gifts? Not everybody's got the same gift, but the gifts are designed. God created and designed those gifts, and they're given to work together to produce a oneness, a unity in the body of Christ. It reminds me of something someone shared with me a good while back. And from the scripture when he was talking about in the Old Testament, and I can't remember which army it was, but it says they walked together like arm to arm, shoulder to shoulder, and they conquered the countryside. That was the enemy. And when we were having this discussion, they said, you know, what would, just imagine if God's people would do that. In oneness, what could we accomplish if we walked, always walked shoulder to shoulder, arm in arm, spiritually? What would happen? What would that look like? You see, but instead what happens is a lot of times, either, as Paul said, everyone's not pulling their own load. They're not using their gift. Or they're wanting somebody else's gift. Or they're trying to operate outside of their gift. And what does it create? One, confusion. Two, division. The church has got to get it together. And this is what Paul's saying. Each member has a gift. Each has a function in the body of Christ. They're not all the same, but they're to work together to bring unity and oneness to the body. So we, being many, as you can look around and see, there's many here. Many makes up one. Many makes up one body, the one body of Christ. That's what Paul's saying here. We being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Think about that, members of one another. He's saying connected. Connected. Connected spiritually. We all come from different backgrounds, different ways of life. We have different situations, but we are connected spiritually. Oneness. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to grace. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Think about that. Gifts according to grace. Like I said a while ago, somebody sees a gift that this person has over here and they say, man, that's the gift I want. Well, guess what? We don't get to choose our gift. We don't get to choose our gift. What does he say? Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Where does grace come from? The grace of God. And it's the same way with the gifts. Our gifts are given according to the grace of God. He knows how he's gifted you. He knows the gift that you will use. He gives you the gift that he wants you to use and he desires you to use. And everybody is not gifted the same. There may be a collective number of 5 or 6 or 10 that are gifted in this way, another 20 gifted this way, another 30 gifted this way, 2 gifted this way. They're different, but they're designated and given by God. We don't choose our gift. And when we try to start choosing our gift, that's where we run amok. That's where we create confusion and division. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts at His will. And we're, our part is to receive it and to use it. Amen. Receive it and use it. And some people might say, well, I don't know what they are. Having gifts, verse 6, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them. Paul's saying, use your gift. Are you using your spiritual gift or gifts? Some of you might say, well, I don't even know what it is. Okay, well, why don't you find out? Well, how do I do that? Well, it's in the Bible. You can take God's Word and study God's Word, and the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what your gift is. It may be, you may have a passion for a certain area or thing, and that may be where your gift is. Maybe. Not necessarily, but maybe. There's spiritual gifts assessments that you can take that will help you. They're not 100% dead on, but they'll help you understand how God has gifted you and how that gift is used in the body of Christ. But here's the problem. 80%, at least 80% of people in a church, and probably in this church, don't know what their gift is. And that's not God's fault. That's our fault. We need to discover our gifts and begin to use our gifts. That's what strengthens the body of Christ, and that's what builds the kingdom of God, and that's what brings glory to God. Amen. Is the gifts that He gives functioning together, working together, building the body and building the kingdom. Amen. Gifts according to the grace that's given. Let us use them. And he says, Paul speaks to a few of them here, not all, but a few. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In other words, don't prophesy according to John Smith or Jane Doe. Prophesy according to the faith that God has imparted in you. Verse 7, or ministry. If he's given you the gift of ministry, use it in ministering. If it's teaching, he who teaches, use it. He who exhorts, use it in exhortation. Exhortation means encourage. Anybody need encouragement? Every day. We all need encouragement. We all need encouragement. Every day. He who gives with liberality. He who gives, give with liberality. Means generously, abundantly. Now, I know this makes people nervous when you start talking about giving, because they immediately feel their pocketbook or their wallet. Make sure it's in securely in place with your button, your pocket buttoned, so it can't get out. Many people have the gift of giving, the gift of generosity. Use it. Use it. And he says, don't use it like a penny pincher. Use it liberally. And yes, it's not just financially, but that's a big part of it. That's a big part of it. And I believe if our heart's right, if our heart is right, almost everyone can have has the gift of giving. Because giving is building. Giving is encouraging. You can give someone a word of encouragement. You can give someone a scripture that will encourage them or speak to their heart at just the right time as the Holy Spirit leads you. See, there's all sorts of ways this idea of giving. You can give time. You can give serving. You can give effort. You see, that gift of giving can overlap in a lot of the other gifts. Paul says, he who leads, lead with diligence. Lead with authority. Lead with perseverance. He who shows mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, I want to say something about that, because that's another thing about the gifts. God doesn't give the gifts. The Holy Spirit doesn't give the gifts and give them out of balance. Everything has balance. And the gift of mercy is one area where people have the gift of mercy and they get out of balance. They become all mercy. And you see, we can get out of balance in a lot of areas. But if you have mercy, he says, do it cheerfully. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, I believe one thing, mercy is forgiveness. Mercy is forgiveness. I think that's why Paul says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That means, well, I'll forgive them because God says I have to. That's real cheerful. How would you like somebody to say to you, I forgive you because God says I got to? Arian, I'm sorry. I forgive you because God says I got to. That makes you feel good. Doesn't that just lift you up? Right, it's not real. Somebody said, it's not real. The gifts are given to be used in a real way. There's anywhere from, you can find in Scripture anywhere from 12 to even more spiritual gifts in the Bible, in Scripture. I want to encourage you to discover what your spiritual gift is if you're a believer here today and you're born again. Because God has given you a gift to use, not to sit on, not to waste. He's given you a gift to use. As Paul says, let us use them. Doesn't matter what it is. Let us use them. Use them. Why? Use them for his glory, not yours. You say, I don't use this gift of preaching that God's given me for my glory. I don't get up here to glory. I don't get up here to make you like me and be popular. There are pastors that do. And I'm not exalting myself. Because really, if I'm doing my job, a lot of you aren't going to like me a whole lot. You see, we use the gift for his glory. If it's giving, you don't give to say, well, I give a lot of money to the church. I gave $10,000. I gave this or I did this. That's not giving, and that's not using your gift. That's abusing what God has given you, and that's pride totally negating your gift. I don't give a rip if you gave $1 million to this church, if you gave it or you give it so that people will know it. The only one that should know it is you and God. And it's the same way with all the other gifts, with exhortation, with encouraging. You see, you don't use your gift and then run around and tell everybody how you used your gift. That's right. It's boasting. Boasting is spoken of in the Bible, not highly. So my question this morning is, what is your gift? And are you using your gift? Everyone sitting here looking at me, if you're born again, you have a gift. God's given you a gift. And he wants you to use it. He wants you to use it. And it's okay if you don't know what it is. You can find out. Discover your gift. Find out what your gift is. Worship team, I need you to come, please. Find out what your gift is. Because God wants you to use your gift to build up the body of Christ, to encourage others around you, to build up his body, and to bring glory to his name. That's why we're given gifts. So two things I hope you take away this morning from the message. One, don't think too highly of yourself than you should, but think soberly. Sober-minded, seriously about yourself and about what you're doing with your relationship with God and how you're walking that out. Think about that. And number two, how are you gifted and what are you doing with your gifts? Those are two critical factors. And you see, the reason Paul says, first, don't think too highly of yourself than you should, because he doesn't want us to take our gift and let our gifts go to our head, so to speak. In other words, let our giftedness become pride. So let's pray. As you pray, I want you to ask yourself something. I want you to ask the Lord. Sorry, I don't want you to ask yourself. I want you to ask the Lord right now as you're praying. Just focus on Him. Ask Him, Lord, what is my gift? If you know what your gift is, then ask Him, Lord, am I using my gift for your glory? The gifts are given to the church, to the body of Christ, to edify, to build up the body of Christ, and to edify the Lord Jesus Christ, and to bring glory to the Father. Are you carrying your load, as Paul said in Galatians? Ask the Lord, am I carrying my load? Am I doing my part, God? You see, I believe this is a conversation we should have with Him every day. Am I doing my part? Being a part of building your bride, the body of Christ? Am I edifying the name of Jesus? And am I bringing glory to God? Every day, ask ourselves those questions. And respond. Respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Lord, help us to know and to use our gifts, to know and to use our gifts for you, and for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to close with a couple of worship songs. But I hope you'll begin to try to understand what worship is. It's more than just singing. Are you just singing to sing? Are you singing the words to Him? Are you giving Him your heart as you do this? Let's stand together.